So we yesterday we spent most of the shiur discussing whether Eid Zomim is a chiddush or not a chiddush, whether the din that you're going to believe the second set and not the first set is a chiddush or not. So we had a machlokas in the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin. It's also a machlokas in the Gemara Masech Bava Kamma. When an Eid Zomim becomes puzzle, Leidus, does he become puzzle all the way back to the time that he first told the Zedus, or only now from the time that we caught him? So the Gemara said that according to Rava, he's only Mikan al Abba, he's only going to become puzzle now from the time that we caught him, because Eid Zomim is a Chiddush, and the reason that it's a Chiddush is, why would we believe the second set over the first set? They're equals, it doesn't make any logical sense to believe one pair of Eidim over the other. And therefore, it's a chiddush, and in the chabah, well, mishas chiddush. We can only apply the chiddush from that point going forward. The other side is, according to Abaye, no, Eid Zomim is l'mafreya, goes all the way back retroactively, apostles him from the time he said his Eidos. So we pointed out that it seems to be machlokas from Ban and Rambam, what the logic for Abaye is. Does Abaye deny that Eid Zomim is a chiddush, and he thinks it's not a chiddush at all? That seems to be the approach of the Ramban, that Eid Zomim is not a chiddush. Or do we assume, like the Rambam seems to indicate, that it is a chiddush? Abaye just rejects the notion of Ein L'chabal Mishas Chidusha. We saw that Rav Elchanan formulates these two tzadim. He formulates these two possibilities of how to view Eidim Zomim. There is another approach that I just wanted to take a look at for a little bit, and that is, if you have the photocopies of Rav Nevensal, of Rav Nevensal's piece in his Sefer, what's the Sefer called? B'Yitzchak Yikarei, I believe, is the name of the Sefer. In Simit Sadieh, this is Rav Nevensal's Sefer on Shas, on page 362 of that Sefer, in the paragraph that begins V'Rav Haigon, says Rav Nevensal, Rav Haigon in Mishpatei Shavuos writes, Kasav d'lo mikru edim zomim, elim kein hodu hamuzamim oshasku. That edim zomim can only be, what happened, meaning, what's the story of edim zomim? Two edim come and they say, Reuven killed Shimon. Two other edim come and say, no, you were with us on the day that you claim Reuven killed Shimon. That makes edim zomim. But that can't be the end of the story. Meaning, if you're any judge worth anything, will turn to the first two Edom and say, what do you have to say about that? Right? What's their response? What's the case of Edom Zomim? What are they saying in response to the fact that they were now just accused of being in a different place at the same time? How do they respond to that? So says Rav Haigon, they're only going to become Edom Zomim if they admit, or if they're quiet. If they say, we have no response, they just don't respond to anything, or they say, ah, you caught us. Then they become Edom Zomim. But if they don't admit, and they stand their ground, and they say, that's not true. We were exactly where we said we were. These people are lying when they say we were in a different city at that time. It's not true. We maintain our original position. Then they don't become Edom Zomim. What's the svara? What's the svara? The svara must be that Edom Zomim, the Rav Haigon understands, is not a chiddush. Edom Zomim has to make sense. And the only way it makes sense to believe the second set over the first set is if the first set admits that they were lying. But if they don't admit that they were lying, then it's just your word against ours, and we have no one to believe. We don't know who to believe. It would be treated like Edus HaChasha, like regular contradicting Edom. And what do you do when you have regular contradicting Edom? Just two Edom against two Edom. So that's a sugya. The Gemara talks about Maseches Bava Kamma. I'm sorry, Maseches Shavuos, where the Gemara says he has shtei kitei Edom hamachisha zu azu, two contradictory sets of Edom. Rav Huna says both of them maintain their cheskas kashrus. Each set of Edom could still be made in other cases. And Rav Chisda says, no, bahadi sadi shakmi lamali. What do I need these liars around for? I don't want to accept anybody. So throw them all out. But if the Edom admit, the first Edom admit that, yeah, you're right, we were caught, you got us, we weren't there on that day, then they become Edom Zomim. Short of that, though, they don't become Edom Zomim. Yeah.
Assuming that if the Edom comes, there's going to be questioning involved. Like, the judge is going to start questioning the Edom.
Yeah, that's what Rav Haigon's assuming. That they're going to come and turn to the first Edom and say, my high, you know, what's going on? So if they say, oh, you know, so then we know that they're lying. They're Edom Zomim. But if they say, these guys are lying, it's not true, then they're not going to become Edom Zomim. So it turns out, the way Rav Haigon understands, that Edom Zomim is not a chiddush at all, l'chora. It's not a chiddush. Of course you're going to believe the second set. The first guy has just admitted that they were lying. So it's not a chiddush at all. But then he says, Rav Nevinzal points out, but l'chora, that's a chiddush also. Because the chiddush is, how's that a chiddush? The chiddush is, they admitted it. What's the chiddush? If we could not kill them, but for their admission, right? If absent their admission, we would not have been able to kill them. One second. If we would not have been able to kill them, had they not admitted, and now they're admitting and now we can kill them, it turns out that we're killing them based on their own admission, their own edus. And we don't kill people based on their own edus. A guy comes into court and he says, you should kill me because I was just Mechal Shabbos. Do we kill him? No, we need to aid him that he's Mechal Shabbos with Hasra and everything. A guy walks into court and says, I was Mechal Shabbos, kill me, we don't kill him. So there is a Chiddush Eidim Zomim even according to Rav Haigon. Because it turns out that we're only able to kill the Eidim Zomim because they admitted. Had they not admitted, we wouldn't be able to kill them. So it's their own admission that does them in. And that's the Chiddush. So it could be. So there is a chiddush tatum zomin, but it's not the chiddush that Rava said, right? The chiddush Rava said in the Gemara is, why would I believe the second guy is not the first guy? No, I'll explain to you why you believe the second guy. Because the first guy's admitted it, says Rav Haigon. That's easy. Why you believe the second guy's? But to then kill the Eidim based on their own admission, that's a chiddush. But says Rav Nevinzal, maybe you could say Adrava. Maybe you could say that really. Hasvara no senes. Logic would dictate that you're allowed to kill people based on their own admission. Or at least based on their own shtika, based on their own not saying anything. That a person can play a role in his own death in a Beis Din. And that is not a chiddush at all. Why is it that generally we don't accept someone's edus about himself that he was Michal Shabbos or that he's a murderer or that he's an Oved Avodah Zarah or anything else that he'd be chayiv misa for? What? It would only be Lashon Hara if we don't believe it. Meaning if we're not going to accept it. If we do accept it, then he's helping us promote justice. It wouldn't be Lashon Hara. So why is it that we don't believe it? So he says, you got to see a Rambam. The Rambam in the 18th paragraph of Sanhedrin, Allah Chavav, and he quotes this word for word, so I didn't give you the actual Rambam, I just gave you Rav Nevinzal. In the paragraph that begins, Amnam Yesh Lomar, he quotes the Rambam, the third line, where the quotes begin. Gzeras HaKosav, he says. It's a Gzeras HaKosav. The Torah dictates, She'ein Mamisin Bezdin V'lo Malkin Asa Adam Ba'odas Piv El Al Pi Shnayim Edim. That we do not kill someone, we do not give someone lashes, based on his own admission, you need testimony of two people. Vizesh Shahar Yoshua Achan. You know, ever learn a little Navi? Yeah, very little Navi. You only have to get to Sefer Yoshua. So, that which Yoshua killed Achan, who was Achan? The Jewish people fought the battle of Ai, and they lost the battle of Ai because the battle of Ai came on the heels of the battle of Yericho. You know what the Battle of Yericho was? An amazing battle. Yericho is a very fortified city. We had no chance, militarily, to be able to conquer Yericho. So Yoshua told the people, based on Nevuah, that what they should do is, they should go around, surround the city seven times, blow trumpets for 7 days straight, blow shofros, and then on the seventh day, the walls of the city, which was Shabbos, the fortified walls of the city of Yericho came down. And then it left them totally exposed, and the Jewish people were able to come in and conquer Yericho. But because it was a battle on Shabbos, the halacha was that they had to dedicate all the spoils of Yericho to Hashem. They weren't allowed to take any of the spoils of the city for themselves. And most people observed that law. But someone had taken the spoils of the city for himself, unbeknownst to Yoshua. And then the Jewish people had another battle to fight. They had the Battle of Ai. Now, Ai was not a very serious city. It was a little nothing. It was a little village. It wasn't something that was a very that would have been a great challenge to conquer. Certainly not after conquering Yericho. Ai was a little nothing town. But they lost the initial battle of Ai. And Yeshua didn't know what to do. What in the world is going on? How do we win Yericho and we lose Ai? How does that happen? It's like beating the Patriots and losing to the Jets. How does that possibly happen? probably no sports fans here. Marshall is totally lost. Okay. Okay, you understand the concept. How does that possibly happen? So Hashem says, because someone took spoils from Yericho. And they had to find who it was that took the spoils, and it was Achan. Achan admits that he's the one that took the spoils. And he says, okay, so they kill him. How can you kill him? He just admitted. We don't have Edim that he took the spoils. So says the Rambam, the fact that they killed Achan, that Yeshua killed Achan, or David killing the Ger HaMaleki, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but essentially the Ger HaMaleki admitted that he had killed Shaul. He admitted that he was the one who had killed Shaul HaMelech. So David HaMelech killed him. David HaMelech was very good about punishing those who killed kings or who disrespected kings. And obviously, there's a reason why he would want to set that tone of you better not kill a king. So he killed the Ger HaMaleki without any edus. So says Rambam, Harasha, I saw Din Malchus Haya. You have to give some tarot, you have to say it was Harasha, it was a one time thing, it was a Din Malchus, it's a different Din. But generally speaking, it's a Gzeiras HaKosov that you're not allowed to kill someone based on his own admission. Gzeiras HaKosov, what does Gzeiras HaKosov imply? That logically, you would have killed someone based on his own admission. But the Torah says we're not allowed to. The Torah says we need two Edim. Why? Why does the Torah say it? Why is it that we need two Edim? Why is it that we can't kill someone based on his own admission? The Rambam says something astonishing. Sanhedrin is not going to punish someone who admits to doing something. Shema nitra fadaito b'davizem. Because this person is insane. Shema mina amol and mari nefeshu hamachakim lamas. Maybe he's nebuch depressed and he doesn't have the courage to commit suicide. And the easiest way for him to commit suicide is to walk into Beis Din and tell the Beis Din, oh, I just murdered somebody. So Beis Din will kill him. Good, he accomplishes his suicide. That's why, says the Rambam, we're not going to kill someone based on his own admission. Because he might be suicidal. He's not trying to get kapara, he's just stam suicidal and he never really did anything. Shatokan Acharovos Bibitnam, he says, you know these kinds of people that take spears and stab themselves? Umashlich Natsma Mealagagos and jump off rooftops? Shemakachze? Maybe that's what's going on with this guy. Yovav Yomer Davish Loasa. He's going to come in and admit to something that he didn't do because he's suicidal. Uklolo Sheldavar Gzeiras Melechi. But the bottom line is, the fact that we don't believe someone, it's a Gzeiras Melech. It's a Gzeiras HaKosov, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates to us. So the Rambam starts, this is a little bit strange. So if I were to ask you, why does Beis Din not accept someone who admits that he just killed somebody and then kill him? Why does Beis Din not kill someone who admits it, based on his own admission? What? Oh, so the Rambam says because he's suicidal, which sounds very logical. But then the Rambam twice says, Gzeiras Melech, Gzeiras HaKosov, which implies that there is no logic. It's just God said so. So which is it? Does it make logical sense or does it not make logical sense? The Rambam tells us both. He says, Gzeiras HaKosov, and then he says, oh, and by the way, it's very logical because the guy is suicidal. So says from Levinsel that there is some sort of svara, and that svara that the guy is looking for punishment is shayach even more by Misa than by Malkus. So he says, L'chein kosov Rambam dehein mitzad akra ikor kra achino liftor samodu b'misa b'malkus v'gam misvara iyef shal lismoch l'chalutin al hoda aso shemim mari nefeshu. He says it's some sort of combination of the two. Meaning the svara alone may not have done it, but the svara certainly gives a little credence to it, a little more strength to it. But it's still somewhat of a chiddush in the pasuk. So why is Rambam Sal quoting this? Because what did we say? Rav Haigon says that you're only an Eid Zomim if you admit that you were lying. If you never admit it, then you're not an Eid Zomim. So he said, oh, so there's no Chiddush at all to Eidim Zomim. Because of course if you admit it, you're guilty. And we're going to believe the second set. Rav Nevinsal said, no, maybe there is a Chiddush. And the Chiddush is that your admission can play a role in getting yourself killed, that a person's own admission can play a role in getting himself killed. However, says Rav Nevinsal, maybe that's not such a chiddush, that a person's admission can play a role in getting him killed. It's a gzeiras hakosov that it generally can't. It's only, and the only logic for the Gzeres HaKosov is the chashash that he might be depressed. But otherwise, the assumption is that my admission should be able to play a role in getting me killed. Maybe it's not a chiddush that I could play a role in getting myself killed. And he says, I'll bring you two rayas. So he said, I'll bring you two rayas. That a person's own admission can play a role in getting them killed is not a chiddush. It's that it's normal and it's a standard in halacha that when a person admits to something or doesn't say anything and therefore allows something to be said about him, that that could play a role in getting him killed. One is the sheet of Rabbeinu Menachem in Maseches Yevamos, he quotes, Eidim testify, and other people come and say, you were with us at a very distant place 10 minutes after the testimony that you just told us about, and you didn't have a gamla parcha. The Gemara is going to talk about a flying camel. You never could have gotten from that place that, I mean, you don't own a what's the fastest car? Whatever. You don't own a race car. You couldn't have gotten there. There's no way you could have gotten from the scene of the crime at 1 o'clock to where we saw you at 1:15. So this is a little different than regular Edom Zomim. Normally Edom Zomim is Imanu Yisam. You were with us at the same time. Now this second set is not saying Imanu Yisam, you were with us at the same time. They're saying you were with us 15 minutes later, but there's no way you could have gotten from point A to point B in just 15 minutes. So it's a little different. What if the Edom turn around and say, yeah, you're right, we were with you at 1:15, very far away, because we do own a race car. We do own a flying camel. It's the coolest thing ever. And it transported us from there to there in that amount of time. Says Rabbeinu Menachem, they're not Edom Zomim, they're Patur. But if they don't claim that they own a Gamla Parcha, if they don't claim that they had a flying camel, then they're Chayav. What do you see from there, says Rabbeinu Menachem? Their failure to claim that they own a Corvette, you know, fast, right? Their failure to claim that they own a race car is what's mechayev them.
How? How does that change their ages?
What do you mean?
So I have a flat screen TV at home. I didn't tell you I was watching TV at the same time. So how does they got from point A to point B because they had the means to? You know, why do you have to specify what kind of?
Because it's a very unusual means. It's a means that most people don't have. Gamla Parch, they didn't have flying camels all the time. It was very rare. Yeah, so it was an unusual thing. So the Rabbeinu Menachem's Chiddush is that they have the right to claim, we're going to believe them when they say it. I mean, the Gemara says that Ma'od, you might think that we're concerned about that they might have had such a means of transportation. No one has such a means of transportation. Rabbeinu Menachem's Chiddush is, if they claim that they had that means of transportation, then we're going to believe them. But if you take that Chiddush of Rabbeinu Menachem, then it turns out that when they don't claim it, that's why they're getting killed, for what they didn't claim. Now, obviously, why are they getting killed? Because two other Edom said, you know, that you weren't there at the time you say you were there. But they could have gotten out of it by saying that they had the race car.
And they can't bring any Edom afterwards, it's already too late.
But they could have gotten out of it if they would have said they had the race car, but they chose not to. They didn't say we had the race car, and now they get killed. So it at least plays a role. It's not the sole cause of their getting killed, but it at least plays a role. His second raya, that a person's own admission or own statement or own failure to say something could play a role in them getting killed, is from Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua in Gittin Daf Yud Zayin. An Eishes Ish Shezinsa, married woman, cheats on her husband. So, how do we know she's not divorced? How do we know that she's married? Maybe she's divorced. When they give her Asra, you better not do that, you're a married woman. So how do we know? Maybe she could say Grushani. Right? How can we kill her?
She has a ksuba later.
Because she never said Grushani, says Pnei Yeshua. If at the time of the Asra she would turn around and say, I don't know what you're talking about, I'm not married, I'm Grusha, then obviously we wouldn't be able to kill her. Because we have no reason to distrust her that she's a Grusha.
That needs to be given at the Asra or in Beis Din.
at the Asra.
Where that doesn't change the mitzvah.
Because when she doesn't say Grusha, she's being mekabel the Hasra. She's saying your Hasra is valid. So her failure to claim that she's a Grusha, I mean, if we're able to prove it later on in the Chinami, if we're able
to... Do they even bother to try to prove it, or they just take the word?
We don't have to do that investigation. Because if she never claimed to be a Grusha, why would we have to, you know?
I don't know, it's like, it seems like we're accepting people's words. I feel like these things can be easily looked into.
Yeah, well, we have no reason to assume she's a Grusha. We know she was an Eishes Ish. She didn't deny that she's an Eishes Ish.
If a charge is brought against someone, you start to see if there's any validity to it.
Yeah, but you don't have to, we don't have to try to uncover every possibility of what might have happened in her life that would now, if she makes a claim, obviously we'll research. She says she's really, there's a get, where's the get, let's look into it, where are the Edim? Mm-hmm. But she's just sitting there and they say, how could you do this, you're an Eishes Ish, and she doesn't say I'm divorced, so she should have said something. But again, you see that her failure to claim that she's a Grusha gets her killed. So a person's own admission or failure to admit or own statement or failure to say something can play a role in getting them killed. That's Rav Nevin Sal's idea. And then he quotes his son. Rav Nevin Sal quotes Rav Akiva Nevin Sal. Yeah? No? He hangs around the Tziv? Okay. He's the oldest son? He's older than Rav Chizkiya? What does he do? Rav Akiva. He learns a lot of Torah. Okay. So Rav Nevin Sal quotes from Rav Akiva. He says, Mibni harav agon Rav Akiva shlita. Shemati od makar l'divir Rav Haigon. He says, I have another source for Rav Haigon. And what did Rav Haigon say? Edom Zomim is, you turn to the Edom and you say, Imanu Eisan, you were with us. When you come to Beis Din, who are you testifying to? The judges. Shouldn't the what words should you use if you're talking to the judges? If you're talking to the judges. They were with us. Heim hayu imanu. Right? Imanu Yisa means you were with us. Why are they talking to the Eden? They shouldn't be talking to the Eidim, they should be talking to the judges. Says Rav Akiva Nevin Sal, you see that the Eidim are going to have a chance to respond. And that if they respond, no, we weren't,
to each other,
they're not going to become Eidim Zomim. If the first Eidim respond, we were not with you, then they won't become Eidim Zomim. You see from the Lashon, Imanu Yisim, you were with us. What do you mean you were with us? Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to over here? There's no conversation. You're supposed to talk to the judges. Thought that was a cute deal, no? Good.
All right, 10 minutes.
That we'll leave Rav Nevin Sal at that. Now moving along to the Tosos. First Tosos in the Masechta. So what happened in the Mishnah? We know that there's a din called Edom Zomim. Where does the din of Edom Zomim appear in the Mishnayos? Daf Hei Amud Aleph. The Mishnah talks about how Edom Zomim happens. Edom Zomim happens when you, when two Edom testify about something, someone, two other Edom come and say, Imanu Yisam, you're with us, you couldn't possibly know about that testimony. Our Mishnah is not about how Edom become Edom Zomim. What our Mishnah, even though it advertises that in the first four words of the Mishnah, what our Mishnah is really about is, when we can't do kasher zamam, we can't do exactly what they wanted to do to the other guy, what do we do? So our Mishnah said we give malchus in two cases where we can't do kasher zamam. We can't do kasher zamam when you claim ben grusha ben chalutz. We can't do kasher zamam when you claim that the guy's chayiv galus. So good, so we give malchus because we can't do kasher zamam. Frektosos, there is a principle in edus that any edus she'iyatu yochel azima, any edus that cannot have the potential to become edim zamamin, is not a valid edus. The whole edus is batal, the whole edus is null and void. What is a classic example of an edus shi'atu yachal azima, edus that cannot be become edim zomim? So a classic example is edim that couldn't answer the chakiros. The chakiros are the questions that revolve around time and location. when did the event occur, where did the event occur. If they can't answer, if they say, Eini Yodea, where was it? I don't know. When was it? I don't know. What day was it? I don't know. If they say Eini Yodea to those kinds of questions, the Eidus is invalid. Because we can never turn them into Eidim Zomim. We can never say, you're with us when you say it happened, because you don't know when you say it happened. No one knows when you say it happened. You're not pinning it down to a time. So we can never make them Eidim Zomim. Therefore, that Eidus is invalid. Unlike other kinds of questions that we ask them. We ask them, what color shirt was the murderer wearing? If one of them says blue and the other one says, I don't know, we don't disqualify the Eidus. He's not expected to know the answer to every detail of what happened in the case. Now, if one says blue, the other one says red, then we disqualify them, because then they're not getting the story straight. But if one says blue, one says I don't know, they wouldn't be disqualified. But when it comes to the questions of time and place, you have to get those right. Otherwise, it's Eidus Shiyatu Yachal Azima. Eidus that can't become Eidim Zomim, Memel, they're disqualified. Good? So says Tosos, given that rule, that any Eidus Shiyatu Yachal Azima is not a valid Eidus, and the whole Eidus just goes away, we throw out the whole Eidus. Why are we giving these guys Malkus? Shouldn't their Eidus be invalid to begin with? Meaning, when a guy testifies, when two guys testify that someone's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, two guys testify that someone's Chayiv Galus, they're testifying about something that we cannot do kasher zamam to them on. We can't make them a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. The Gemara explains why. We can't give them Malkus. The Gemara explains why. But we can't. We can't do it. If we can't do kasher zamam to them, isn't that the definition of Eidus Shiyatu Yachal Azima? Shouldn't that disqualify their Eidus Meikara? That's Tosis kasha. So Tosis answers two answers. And the difference between them is important. First answer, Tosis says in the first skinny line, V'yesh lomar, kivan delokin have kasher zamam. And no, we're giving them Malkus. And if we're giving them Malkus, that is kasher zamam. When we give them Malkus, that is the fulfillment of kasher zamam. Meaning, we translate kasher zamam as doing to them what they wanted to do to somebody else. Kasher zamam is translated much more broadly than that. Kasher zamam means punishing them for being Eidim Zomim. It doesn't mean doing to them exactly what they wanted to do to someone else. Most of the time it's fulfilled by doing to them what they wanted to do to someone else. But not always. So it is kasher zamam. You know what Eidus Shiyatu Yachal Azima is? Eidus that we can never even have Eidus against them of Yimanu Yisam. The words Yimanu Yisam won't work because they didn't pin down their Eidus to a time or location. That's Eidus Shiyatu Yachal Azima. But an Eidus that's pinned down to a time and location, we just can't carry out exactly what they wanted to do to somebody else. That's Yachal Azima. That's still kasher zamam. That's still a fulfillment of kasher zamam. He says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, by Eidin Aram Rasa, that getting Malkus is not a fulfillment of kasher zamam. He says, maybe it wouldn't be a fulfillment of kasher zamam when that which they were trying to be mechayev the other person was Misa. So Malkus is too little of a risk. It's too little of a payback for what you're trying to give someone Misa. But when all you're trying to give someone is be a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza or to be chayev Galus, Malkus is enough of a kasher zamam. That's how he fetches out of that. But the yisod of the first answer is that kasher zamam doesn't only mean exactly what they tried to give to the other person. Kasher zamam means punishing them. As long as they become Eidim Zomim, so you punish them in some way. That's answer number one of Tosfos. Question?
Yeah. If let's say, according to the first answer of Tosfos, that it doesn't necessarily have to be the same kind of punishment that they're trying to impose on the other person, who decides the punishment? The judges? Or is there like...
Well, normally the punishment, the Torah decides it. And that's what the whole Daf Beis is about. How we know that these cases are an exception and that you can't do exactly what they wanted to do to the other guy, nefesh tachas nefesh, which the psukim say you're supposed to do. And given that we can't do it, how do we know you give Malkus instead? So the Gemara learns from psukim that that's the halacha. But when we do give the Malkus instead, that becomes the kasher zamam. That's answer number one of Tosos. Answer number two of Tosos, v'od yesh lomar, further on in Tosos, about halfway down the Tosos, V'od yesh lomar, Degabe edus to ben grusha v'chalutza lo cheshinun klal bata yachal azima. He says it's generally true that in order for edus to be accepted, it has to be edus shati yachal azima. It has to be the kind of edus that can become edim zomim. But it's not true for edus of ben grusha ben chalutza. From where do we learn that you need edus shati yachal azima? That you even require edus shati yachal azima? Mikasher zaman. We learn it from kasher zaman. V'hamuchach b'gemar da kasher zaman lo nichtav l'gabe edus ben grusha. The Gemara is going to make very clear that kasher zaman doesn't apply by edus of ben grusha. So if kasher zaman doesn't apply, memela edus shati yachal azima doesn't apply by edus of ben grusha. Leaving out the details and the mechanics for now, what Tosa is saying in the second answer that's different than the first answer is not that when we give the malchus that's the kiyum of kasher zaman, but it's that you don't even need kasher zaman by edus of ben grusha mechalutza. Normally you need edus shati, I'm sorry, you don't even need edus shati yachal azima. So the first answer says, of course you need edus shati yachal azima. But this is edus shati yachal azima because we're fulfilling kasher zaman by giving the malchus. Second answer says, no, you don't even need edus shati yachal azima by this case, by a case of ben grusha ben chalutza. Are we clear on the difference between the two? Okay, so let's say it again. Tosfos says, Akasha, I don't understand. If a guy testifies, if the Edim testifies, someone's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, we will never have the power to make those Edim a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So doesn't that make it Edus Shriyata Yachal Azima? Edus that we can never be Mazim then? And therefore, shouldn't that disqualify the Edus entirely? Because we can never make them Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, we can never send them to Galus? So Tosfos says, answer number one, when we give them Malkus, that is the Kasher Zaman. We are fulfilling the Hazama by giving them Malkus. Malkus is a Kiyum of the Hazama. So it is an Edus Shati Yachal Azima. We can be Mazim them by giving them the Malkus. And that's why it's a valid Edus. Answer number two is, no, you're right. We can't do Kasher Zaman to them. We're never going to be able to Mekayim Hazama for them. But there's a special gzeres hakasuv that you don't need to be able, even though every edus in the world needs to be an edus that you can, that potentially can become edim zomim, not for edus ben grusha ben chalutza. There's an exception. Edus ben grusha ben chalutza doesn't have to have the potential to become edim zomim.
What's the gzeres hakasuv from?
Where does he get that from? Because the whole idea of needing edus shati yachal azim is from the words kasher zaman. And the Gemara specifically tells us that Kasher Zaman doesn't apply to Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. That's the Gemara over here.
Hey.
What?
Hey.
No, here. I think he's referring to. What's the Gersa over here? Grusha Ben Chalutza. Lokai Klale Bishum Sad Shaviyala. Yeah, think of Sisim Lo Kasher Zamam, Lo V'lo L'Zaro. That specifically, the Pasuk says, Sisim Lo Kasher Zamam, anything that would affect their children, doesn't, you know, there's no Kasher Zamam. I affect the Gemara, shouldn't we say that they become Pasuk and not their children? Well, then it's not Kasher Zamam. Meaning, what is Kasher Zamam? The Gemara says, the Gemara in the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph says, that it has to be Kasher Zamam Lasos. Vasisim lo kasher zaman lasos. So lo v'lo lazaro tells you that I can't, whatever I do to these edim has to only affect them and not their children. So I can't make them halalim, I can't make them non kohanim because that's going to affect their children. So it says, well, okay, so only do it to them, don't do it to their children. No, but then it's not exactly what they tried to do to the other guy. They tried to make the other guy a non kohen and his children non kohanim. So then it wouldn't match. Melev, that pasuk doesn't apply to Edus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So the whole requirement of having Edus Shati Yachal Azima is not going to apply to Edus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. One second. Nafkamini between the first answer and the second answer tells us again. The first answer is, of course you always need Kasha, you always need Edus Shati Yachal Azima. That's a yisod of Edus. You have it over here, because giving Malkus is Yachal Azima, is the Hazama. Second answer of Tosfos is, no, by Ben Edus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, you don't need Yachal Azim. It's just not necessary. It's an exception to the rule. By Edus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, do the Edim have to know the time and the date of what they're testifying about?
No.
So think about it.
They just have to know that the father and the mother were divorced.
What are you saying when you're saying that he's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? What exactly are you saying? So Rashi says, Bifaneinu Niskarsha Imo, Kodim Shenolad. We saw his mother get divorced before he was born. So he's a Chala. What if we say, oh yeah? When did you see her get divorced? What time was it? Where was it? And they say, we don't know. Is their Eidus valid? Second, let's think it through. If you hold that Eidus of a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza needs to be Yachal Hazima, it's just that we could be Mekayin Kasher Zaman with Malkus, but it still needs, still has the qualification that it needs to be a regular Eidus that you were able to be Mazim then. So do they need to know the date and time?
Yes,
according to the first answer, yes.
The same answer, no,
though. Ah, but if you say that the whole din of Eidus Shatiyach Lazima doesn't apply to Eidus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, so then they shouldn't have to answer the Chakiras. They shouldn't have to be able to answer that question of time and place, because who cares? They don't need to be Yach Lazima. No, it turned out a humongous nafkamina between the first answer and the second answer. Do Eidus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza need to know time and place? Yeah.
Two questions. Just on that Rashi, why is he specifying Kasher Nolad?
Kodem Shenolad.
Yeah,
as opposed to?
We don't need to know, because it's not really about when the child was born, it's about when the child was conceived.
Very good. It's a Kasher Liachronim ask. Very good.
And also, just back to the other thing with Lo Below the Zara.
Yeah.
Would there be a nafkamina to whether the father has children already, or if he will be having children in the future, or across the board?
Across the board.
If hypothetically you make him a chala, they all become chala.
Right. In the second way.
If it's through Zomim, then maybe you could say that children that are already alive would still be kohanim, but anyone future coming from him would not be.
Why?
Because their metzias is already in existence. They already are a kohen.
Yeah, but if you're saying, if we're believing that he's a chalal, that the father's a chalal, then mele turns out
he's
off of the edzomim. Yeah, but we say that we can't, meaning, anyway, lo v'lo lazaro, nothing, it can't affect his children at all, so it's irrelevant. I mean, we can't do anything that will affect his children.
If he's 60 years old, he's not having more children, that wouldn't affect his children.
Sure it does. I mean, you're saying it wouldn't affect his children, but then it's not kasher zama. Lassos. It's not what he wanted to do to the other guy. What he wanted to do to the other guy is affect that guy's children. Right? Turn to the Minchas Asher. This is Minchas Asher, Siman Lamed Aleph, on Parsha Shoftim. V'yisod din Eidus Shatiyachal Azima Ubir Divrei Atosos Breish Makos. So in one tiny paragraph, the first tiny paragraph, he summarizes our Tosos. The kasha the Tosos asks in the two answers. Hikshua Tosos Beide Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Deinom Rumyasa Zeb Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Tachtov. We don't say that you're going to make the Edom Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza in their place. Elo Loka Arbayim. Rather, you get Malkus. Hello, Havi Edo Shiat Yochla Zima. Isn't it Edos that can't become Edom Zaman? Kimin Shem Niskayim Ben Kasha Zaman, because you're never going to fulfill Kasha Zaman about them. Vitirtu Bebez Rachim. So Tosos gives two answers. Aleph, the Kimin Deloka Havi Beze Edo Shat Yochla Zima. That you are doing kasher zamim because you're giving them malchus. Beis kiva di yefshar b'shem panim l'kayim b'em kasher zamim lo b'inu b'klal shiyu yachal haziman. You don't need to be yachal haziman in this case. Good, just simple summary of Tosfos. Now says Rav Asher, v'ri'isi b'kama sifrei achronim shebi'aru d'leterutz harishon shebedivreihem b'inan shiyu yachal haziman kedei sheyisyaru l'shaker. Ubekach tuftach amita seidusa. V'lechein chashiv yachalazim naf meneyas memamish kasher zam kimishal kolpanim loke. It says the first answer of Tosos that says that even Freidus ben Grusha ben Chalutza, it still needs to be Eidus Shat yachalazim. It's just that giving the malchus is good enough. The first answer must hold. Why is it that you need Eidus Shat yachalazim? What a strange demand of Eidu. You're not a good aid unless we're going to have the potential ability to turn you into an aid zomim. What does that have to do with the truth of what I'm saying? What does it have to do with my honesty, my integrity, and whether you can believe what I'm telling you? The ability to turn me into an Eid Zomim. Maybe the Svara is, and it's most logical, this is the Pashla Svara, that the reason you have to have the potential to turn them into an Eid Zomim is because otherwise we're assuming that they're lying. We're choshesh that they might be lying. We need the deterrent. If I know that when I'm testifying that this guy was Michal Shabbos, and I'm lying, someone could testify about my whereabouts at that time, and could turn out, and it will turn out that I'm going to get killed, I'm going to be very careful about my testimony. I'm going to make sure that I'm telling the truth and I'm not lying, because I don't want to risk it. Why do you need Eid Shata Yachal Azimo? Because you don't want the guy to lie. You need something to deter him from lying. So the first Teretz Tosfos says, you know what that something could be? Malchus. No one wants to get whipped. Maybe the threat of Malchus over his Eidos is enough to discourage him from lying. That's all you need. And that's how the Pri Chadosh explains. But the second answer of Tosfos, know what the second answer of Tosfos say? That Eidos Shat Yachalzim doesn't apply at all over here. Would the Chora hold that it's not about the integrity of the Eidos? It's some Gzeres HaKasov that you need to be Mazim the Eidim, and where the Gzeres HaKasov applies, it applies, and where it doesn't apply, it doesn't apply. But it's not about the integrity of the Eidos. The Eidos has plenty of integrity even if there's no threat of Hazama looming over the Eidos. Meaning, what's the nekudas hamachlokes between answer number one of Tosfos and answer number two of Tosfos? We said a possible nafkamina. What's the nekudas hamachlokes? So the pashut approach that most achronim assume is the nekudas hamachlokes is, do we need Eidos Shatiach Lazima because otherwise we're concerned about the integrity of the Eidos? Or is it just stam gzeres hakasa that you need Eidos Shatiach Lazima? But it has nothing to do with the integrity of the Eidos.
When you go according to that second answer, it takes like the whole time away from why you need the integrity.
Right, that's what he's saying. The second answer would say, you don't need the integrity of the Eidos. There's no din that you need the integrity of the Eidos. Meaning that the Eidim
doesn't sit well.
No, that's, of course you need integrity. But the integrity is by asking them questions, by, you know, making sure they don't have a sordid history or something. But the fact you don't need the ability to turn them into Eidim Zom in order to be able to trust the Eidos. That's what the second answer would say.
The first answer is sort of saying the same thing.
No.
Because if you say the first answer, the whole reason why we would give them Malkos is because it's considered Kasha Zomim, even though we're not doing exactly
what does that mean? It's considered Kasha Zomim? It's enough of a threat to get them to tell the truth, to scare them straight.
It's a punishment.
No. It's enough of a threat to have them tell the truth in the first place. When these Eidim are saying their testimony, they know that if they're caught, they're going to get Malkos, they'll be very honest. They don't want to get Malkos. They don't want to risk it. That's the whole point of having Eidos Shatiach Lazima. You need that threat over their heads. That's the Pashut approach that most of the Achronim take to these two answers in Tosfos. Rav Asher Weiss doesn't buy it, though. He says, how do we know that Eidim have to be afraid of an Onesh in order for us to believe them, according to that first answer? You go home tonight, and your mom cooked you dinner. And you say, Mom, I appreciate the effort and everything. How do I know it's kosher? And she says, I'm telling you, it's kosher. Do you have two witnesses that could like testify that you only use kosher ingredients? We talk about two witnesses. I'm telling you it's kosher. Who's right? You believe her or you don't believe her? You believe her. Why?
Emanus.
Why does she have an emanus? What's the principle? What?
There's no reason to
yeah, but you always need two Eidim, no? For Judaism. There's a principle in Judaism, Eid Echad Nemun B'Yisurim. When it comes to Yisurim, you're allowed to trust in Eid Echad. Where's the Pachad? Does the Eid Echad have a Pachad that if they're caught lying, something's going to happen to them? Nothing's going to happen to Mom if she's caught lying. How could you trust the Eid Echad B'Yisurim? There's no Pachad. Says Rav Asher, I don't know that there's this requirement for pachad, of an onesh of some sort, in order for your eidus to be accepted. Meichi tesi, that an eid has to be afraid of an onesh. Why don't we just say that he's a Jew, and he has a cheskes kashrus, and therefore we assume there's an assumed integrity, until we have reason to believe otherwise. To assume that there needs to be a pachad in order to believe him? Meichi tesi. And therefore Rav Asher says, both of the Terutzim of Tosos are miyusad on the same idea, that you need edim, that you could be mazim, because the Torah says a din hazama, gzeres hakasav, nothing to do with a pachad. What's the nekuda of difference between the first answer and the second answer of Tosos? So that's going to get a little more involved. I guess we'll save that for Sunday, because we're out of time now. I want to try to finish this up on Sunday, or at least Monday, and move on to the next sugya by Monday or Tuesday.